Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1. Irish businesses could find themselves writing cheques for hundreds of thousands of dollars in a matter of days as Donald Trump's tariffs come into effect. Whiskey and perfume are two markets which will be hard hit as they are among Ireland's top exports to the United States. Another is seaweed, which has seen a surge in demand in recent years. Our reporter Gavin O'Callaghan has been finding out how these changes will affect people in business here.
You know, you think of European Union, very friendly. They rip us off. It's so sad to see. It's so pathetic. 39%, we're going to charge them 20%. So we're charging them essentially half.
Hello. How are you doing?
Gavin, how are you? I'm David.
David, nice to meet you.
Over 75% of our business goes to the US. So we're kind of not in a position to run off to other markets to make up that amount of business. So
David Cox is the CEO of Fragrances of Ireland, who are based in Kilmechanic in County Wicklow.
So we will have to put prices up to some extent. We'll absorb what we can. We'll get what price reductions from suppliers we can and do all that stuff. We may start to do a bit of manufacturing in the US, which is part of the what President Trump wants, but it's going to be a scramble for us, and it's certainly not something that's going to be easy. This year is going to be very difficult for us.
Fragrances of Ireland send products to almost 5,000 shops in the US alone, and it could be hit with its first six-figure tariff in a matter of days.
Our main product is Inish, a well-known perfume in Ireland. We're an SME, but we're growing fast, thank God. We have about 55 employees at the moment, mainly in Ireland, but some in the US and some abroad in Germany, for instance. Our warehouse down the road in Kilpeter would pack up container, 40-foot container, with 20 or so pallets of stuff every 2 weeks, just going over to our warehouse in Ohio. And it's when it hits the US port that the tariffs get paid. And up until now, tariffs are pretty mild in the US. They have some, but it's relatively small beer. But we have a container on the water at the moment, and if that arrives after next Monday or Tuesday when the tariffs take effect, we're going to have to write a check to US revenue for, I don't know, $100,000 plus for that container that we wouldn't have done before. So that's the blunt reality of the tariff, that we just have to pay that, and then we have to work out, well, okay, how are we going to recoup that? Because if that happens every 2 weeks, it's not something we're going to be able to absorb.
You'd be like pulling from bourbon, you get vanilla and coconut leaves, you'll get like
Bowen Distillery in Drogheda is run by the Cooney family and employs around 100 people.
It looked like a scene from The Simpsons. Mayor Quimby was there with his board of tariffs. That's what it felt like. Broad brush strokes, tariffs, yeah.
Peter Cooney is the export sales director.
We produce probably about 1.2 million 9-litre cases of cream liqueur and whiskey per annum. 30% of the entire volume goes to the United States.
Mr. Cooney said they are expecting a dip in sales, but that a move to diversify their customer base over the last 10 years to other countries should help them. But he did warn that distilleries could face even more costs if the EU implements reciprocal tariffs on US goods coming here.
So American oak bourbon barrels, and that's a big thing, and it probably hasn't been highlighted in the media. But probably about 95% of all the casks or barrels that we use to age whiskey is actually American oak from bourbon, from the bourbon industry, and they come in from the US and they will have a tariff applied to them. Now, thankfully, probably only about 40% of all the casks we use are bourbon, because we're quite diversified. As when we walked around our warehouse, lots of different types of casks, all different shapes and sizes and from all over the world. But a lot of the large distilleries, you know, they would be very focused on bourbon barrels because they're relatively inexpensive, they're excellent, and they're in large supply. But that's obviously going to be affected now.
It is gone crazy in that since COVID it has exploded, and I suppose it all came about mainly through some stuff with the Kardashians and things like this, and all of a sudden I would say it's almost a $1 billion industry at the moment.
That's Evan Talty, whose family has been harvesting seaweed for around 100 years. 15 years ago, he set up Wild Irish Seaweed, which is based in Ennis in County Clare.
We take them into ready-to-eat food products, go into the shops. We create products for the cosmetic industry, the pharmaceutical industry, nutraceuticals, into tablets, into capsules, CMOS gels, which is quite popular at the moment. And we would export, I suppose, to about 60 countries now at the moment. The US would probably account for, in terms of our overall turnover, that accounts for about 30% of it.
Mr. Talty said they have seen some other windows open since the tariffs were announced.
Canadian manufacturers are looking to buy from us now. So there seems to be, there's a massive divide that Trump has caused, I suppose, with a lot of different countries at the moment with what he's doing. So for us, it's mainly what we're trying to go after is consolidating our own markets that we currently have and maybe looking to exploit some of the markets that, particularly in Europe now and other countries where tariffs have hit, that they might be looking to source from maybe Irish companies and European companies more so than US companies.
But despite some positives, he said that he still expects a significant drop in revenue.
I'd imagine that we'll probably see losses of 20 to 30%. Hopefully Borbia and the Department of Agriculture and Food will be able to do something to get some clarity on it for us, on, I suppose, some assists and aids that we can get. But I think it's sit tight, hold, and it could be a couple of months before we see the actual impact.
And that was Evan Talty from Wild Irish Seaweed, ending that report from Gavin O'Callaghan. And we are joined in our studio now by Dan O'Brien, who is Chief Economist of the Institute of International and European Affairs. Thank you for joining us today, Dan. You heard those business owners there, and they're struggling to comprehend, to respond to the announcement by President Trump on Wednesday. What's your assessment of what happened on Wednesday?
It was genuinely historic. I think that word is way overused, but I think this was. The last time the US did something like this was in 1930. Most economists think it at least contributed to the Great Depression. So this is the biggest change in trade policy for the biggest country in the world, the biggest economy, and it represents a sea change in global trading systems, and it's not one for the best.
And we knew the tariffs were coming because he told us, and yet the stock markets went into turmoil. Did they not price in what actually transpired?
It doesn't look like it, and that's not an infrequent thing in stock markets. Now, let's say, you know, not every stock market big fall or that sort of thing, as has happened this week, reflects what's going to come in the real economy. But in this instance, it looks that way. There are a lot of indicators in the US economy already showing that the shock of this tariff and the higher prices they'll bring for American consumers and businesses is driving the US towards a recession.
And the international response is coming. China has already hit back hard with tariffs of its own. And the EU is deciding what to do next. What does the response from the EU need to be?
That's a very complicated question. I don't think there's a perfect answer to that. On the one hand, there is an economic argument not to put any tariffs up in retaliation, because don't forget who pays the tariffs. It's us, the consumers. And we in Ireland export about 4,000 euros worth of goods from the United States every year. So if the EU puts up tariffs on those, that'll make those products more expensive for us. Now, that's the pure economic argument. The other argument is that if you don't retaliate and you let a country away with hitting you that hard, then it'll just come back and hit you again. So that looks like the response the European Union is collectively going to take. The trade ministers are meeting tomorrow to decide what exact measures to take. I think you certainly hear from both ministers, South and North, here on your show, that a sort of calmer approach is the correct one. And I think certainly from an Irish perspective, we import much more from the US than any other European country. So tariffs on the US would affect us more. So our government is likely to be looking for a response that's on the lower end of the scale.
Okay. Back to the US then. The dollar weakened last week. In times of volatility, that doesn't usually happen, does it? The dollar usually gets stronger, and not this time. So why has that happened?
That is, you know, predicting currencies is the hardest thing in the world. And everyone assumed, for good reason, that putting tariffs on for the US to introduce tariffs would mean the dollar would strengthen. It's actually gone the other way. It looks like there's been a big flood of money out of the United States because of the changing views of what's going to happen there, and that may explain it. But currency markets are incredibly volatile, and they don't always go the way one thinks they'll go.
Is it possible that Donald Trump factored that in, that he does want to devalue the dollar because it would make his exports more competitive?
Donald Trump seemed to have a whole range of reasons for doing this, and maybe that's one of them as well. But it seems that he has a whole range of reasons in terms of raising taxes on tariffs, in terms of bringing American businesses home. There seems to be a whole number of motives behind his actions.
In this country, we all know that the power of the bond markets. If they don't want to buy your debt, then you're in big trouble. And Liz Truss experienced it as well in the UK, and it saw her lose her job. Could Donald Trump experience that too? How likely is it that the bond markets will come for him if the world imposes crippling counter tariffs?
I think nothing can be ruled out. This is, as I say, we're in historic new, you know, 100 years ago since something like this happened. The world is much more integrated now in every way. It is certainly possible. The American have an advantage in that their currency is the reserve currency of the world. It tends to be, as you mentioned, the place where money goes in times of turbulence. But the manner in which the US government has torn up the rule book, certainly in terms of global trade and other things it's doing domestically on the economy, could cause a loss of confidence that could cause the dollar to weaken and the bond market to reflect that as well. So I wouldn't rule anything out given how unprecedented the sort of measures that are being taken right now.
Do you think there needs to be support for businesses in this country who are going to go through a period of volatility now as they search for new markets for their products?
I'd have to say the short answer, no. There was a very strong case for government intervention to help businesses during the pandemic. When the pandemic was going to end, it was necessarily a finite thing at some point. This potentially is a complete change. It is a change in pricing that companies will have to get used to. They'll either have to become more competitive, they'll either have to cut their profit margins. But in general, giving taxpayers money to businesses who have lost markets because what other governments have done is not a good use of taxpayers' money, unfortunately. And very unfortunately, some companies are going to go out of business because of this, and some will become less profitable.
And because of the uncertainty around the public finances now as a result of these decisions, do you think the government needs to revisit proposals to cut taxes, to narrow the tax base, or proposals around the VAT on hospitality? I mean, the minister said that's not on his agenda at the moment, but should it be?
Well, we're certainly a good bit out from the budget. I think government and the public, and we all need to be aware that there's a big risk of short-term recession. There's a big risk that we lose big industries if this thing keeps going the way it's going. So I think everyone needs to be aware that our economic and the government finances position could be very different in 6 months from now. And we all just need to be thinking about that. And government needs to be drawing up contingency plans if things are not nearly as good in 6 months' time.
How long could all this volatility last?
I think it could last a very long time. We could have the short-term effect of a recession globally. That's very possible. And then for Ireland, because we're so plugged into the United States and we have so many American companies here, if they stop investing here, if they gradually start divesting and actually start moving out, we could have a major structural change to our economy that takes years to happen.
So strap in.
Yeah, well, just the one thing, Justin, I say, at least it's not like a financial crisis where things have to happen and, you know, markets open. This is more like a slow burn thing. We need to be prepared for it, and governments have time to respond and react.
All right, Dan, thank you very much. That's Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs.